This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, goodness gracious. Can everybody tell that it's the 13th of June? Because all the technological stuff here in the studio is misbehaving. They're sending us some, what's the proper 13th osyncratic? I don't know what the proper fear of superstition of 13 is, but it seems to be working in here at the moment. We are going to be talking about employment today. If someone wants to show me how to work this mixing board one day, they're welcome to come in and I'll employ you for that for a little while, because every time I have to use it, it is different. The button that worked last week does not work this week. The dial that did mention something different last week and seemed to work properly in just that spot on vacation this time around. So we will do our best. Sean McCord here with me again today, so we can hear some fuddling around in the background. That might be us changing out stuff. But stick around for the hour, because it is going to be pretty interesting. We have, we do have different viewpoints. I had somebody ask me, weren't they going to be opposite viewpoints? And I don't think that that's true. We did manage to, however, include everyone, regardless of whether you are looking for work or hiring people, into the hour. We are going to talk about employment. Let me introduce our guests. And we're going to start with one that we know is working, microphone-wise, I mean. Mark Maynard. Mark, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being here. Mark is the Chief People Officer, which I find to be quite an amusing term, Chief People Officer, Human Resources at Wintergreen Resort.
Yes.
Thanks for driving the 40 minutes over here.
My pleasure.
Leaving the cool mountaintop to come down to WNRN. Next, we're going to try our guest, whose microphone has been fidgety here in the last few minutes, and see how that's going. Howard Parsons. Howard, how are you?
Doing just fine.
See? Still being fidgety. I got nothing out of that. Nothing. Get real close.
Okay. Doing just fine.
I got a little bit out of that. So stick close. Apparently that one's got a short attention span today. And let's see, we also have Stephanie Corman here. Stephanie?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can also hear a little buzz in the background, but we may let the buzz have his day of attitude here, just so we can hear everybody. So again, WNRN, Sunday morning wake-up call. We are going to be talking about employment. Howard Parsons, Stephanie Corman, both folks with career positions now looking for work. We will be letting them tell their story about how they got here and what they are doing to fix things in their personal employment lives. And Mark Maynard, who's going to be representing Wintergreen Resort and the way things are going there, because like many people who are on the hiring side of things, and we'd like to hear from everyone on both sides this hour, Wintergreen has had to do some things to save some money. Right, Mark?
That's correct.
I mean, the budget dollars being spent are not the same.
With the economy like it is, and less discretionary spending with our guests, we found it necessary to kind of restructure our staffing model. Certainly one thing we did. So.
Now, that I have to say that sounds like a very nice way of saying you had to let some people go. Is that true?
That is true.
Did
absolutely.
You let people go, or did you just not rehire? I had some politicians on over the last few weeks who didn't want to say that people had been let go. They strictly had not replaced those open positions.
No, we've done a combination of things. Certainly letting some very talented people go through downsizing, and then doing job sharing with departments that perhaps had a down time during one of our seasons. We would bring them over to a more busy area. So we would start sharing among the different departments our core staff.
So we're going to be getting into that. So for those of you out there who run a business or who do the hiring or work in the human resources or any sort of position where you are accepting the applications and trying to figure out what to do with people coming in, or to help keep your labor dollars under control as needed in the economy. Mark's here to tell us what's going on at Wintergreen and offer some suggestions. And Howard and Stephanie are here as representatives of those folks who are trying to get their application noticed and want to know what they should be doing differently to try and get that application noticed. So let's start with Howard and Stephanie telling their stories now. And ladies first, we have Stephanie Corman here. Stephanie, give us a brief little tell your story in a brief way.
Sure, no problem. I'm a research analyst. Educational research is my field. I did not finish my master's, so I decided to try to look elsewhere for another job. And I did get another job. I found that it wasn't really a good fit, and I also wanted to move closer to home. So I left that job. I actually lost the job because the college had financial problems, and moved here to Virginia. And although I am a research analyst and not an IT person, I tend to get pigeonholed for IT jobs, and that has been a problem.
And Howard Parsons?
Yes.
Nice and close to that microphone. It seems to have a problem if you get too far away. It likes how you look. So tell us your story.
Okay. I have been in information technology for over 35 years. I was a programmer for over 30 years and worked for a company here in town for 26 years. Was let go back in the fall of 2008, and since that time I have been looking for a job with no success.
All right, so we're going to have Howard and Stephanie tell us about what they're doing to find the job, and Mark talk about the businesses here. We are talking about employment here on WNRN. You are possibly listening on Richmond's 103.1 or maybe Lexington's 95.3. And let me give a thanks to Sugar Snap for allowing us to have the conversation today. Sugar Snap offers gently used baby and kids items, including shoes and hats, nursing pillows, plus maternity and nursing clothes. You can also find diapers and diaper bags and other locally made items. A kid-friendly play area is also available. While you shop, you can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. More at sugarsnapconsignment.com. All right. While we fight back the microphone that Howard is trying to use, we'll go to Mark, because we know that microphone is working tastefully. Mark, you mentioned briefly at Wintergreen Resorts, you did have to cut back on the number of staff to work with the labor budget, and you had some, Wintergreen had some methods to doing so. How many positions or what percentage of staff got cut?
We eliminated probably close to between 15 and 20 positions over the last year.
That's really not
half.
As many, because Wintergreen has how many? Certainly hundreds, if not 1,000 employees, right?
We have about 330 full-time annual employees, another 120 part-time annual employees, and then we have anywhere from 200 to another 600 seasonal employees, depending on the time of year.
And so how many got let go? 15 to 20, you said?
15 to 20.
Did you also trim the number of seasonal employees?
We did.
Go ahead.
So during the winter, when we're used to staffing up to around 1,200, we probably brought in closer to 1,000 this past winter season. And so we tended to work people harder, but then there was overtime, so people got paid more.
One of the first questions I had when chatting with you about this, to even consider doing this program, was how does that not affect the end result? If you cut back from 1,200 to less than 1,000 overall employees at your, I guess, top season, the ski season, certainly what most people think of with Wintergreen, how does that not affect the customer, checklist? Great, great, awesome, or not so bad? You know, when I fill out my report.
Well, when a company is trying to figure out how many people to hire and to keep staffed, you have a choice of doing one of three things. You can overstaff and play to the peaks. You can staff perfectly so that when the peaks are there, everybody works a little harder. When it's a valley, everybody lays off a little bit. Or you can understaff. And I believe we had tended to overstaff for the most perfect winters. And in the past 3-4 years, we haven't been seeing those perfect winters. So our mindset was, just in case it gets really busy, let's have as many people as we normally would on hand to take care of our guests. So we took a little different approach, and we've got to get it right. There's a balance to maintain, because you're absolutely right. If we're not able to deliver the service, it's going to play out in our guest surveys and comments, and so then we'll have to tweak. We went a little light this winter. We did okay. We probably need to tweak next winter. But it's a tough balancing game.
And who came up with that process, the methodology that was selected? Is that something that is wide aspect now in the business world? Is this something that someone at Wintergreen said, you know what, my so-and-so is on a committee where the businesses get together in, Houston, Texas twice a year, and this is what so-and-so is doing? How did you come up with that?
Well, we were fortunate enough to hire a new general manager, Hank Teese, and his background is in operational excellence. And he brought with him some fairly good best practices from other resorts and applied them with us. And he got absolute buy-in from all of the business leaders. So it was a concerted effort, a tough one to make, but a concerted effort that seemed to be successful.
All right, so let's jump over to Howard and Stephanie, two folks who have lost their jobs recently. And Howard, let's test that new microphone.
Okay.
Ooh, we found a microphone that had been laid off and decided to come back and work hard. I like that. Good job, Sean McCord. So, Howard, you have been let go. And is this because of something similar to what happened at Wintergreen, where the business that you worked for trimmed a little bit?
No, they sent my job along with the jobs of a number of other IT people. They sent the jobs to India. Company was doing well. They just wanted to make more money.
And so your immediate response to that is, everyone should be careful because I have a knife selection at home, or you go home and cry, or you immediately go home and start updating your resume?
Well, you immediately go home and start updating your resume.
That's a good answer, I suppose, on public radio. People who might be listening for Howard Parsons, currently looking for an IT job. Well, we'll take care of that as well throughout the hour. Stephanie Corman also looking for a job through the hour. And you can go back at the end of the hour, SeavillePodcast.com, and catch up to the program as a whole. Or if you have interest in anything we've talked about, you can always send me an email, abstractme@AOL.com. And if you want to catch up with any of these three guests, I'll be glad to pass along any email. But Howard, 36 years, did I catch that right?
Yes.
36 years, and now you don't have a job with the same company. And how long have you been looking?
It will be 2 years in September.
Have you considered changing careers?
Well, 36 years is a career by anybody's standards. And I'm open to, you know, changing careers if need be, or if something strikes my fancy. The problem is all of the other jobs besides IT jobs out there, they have the E word, experience. We want 3 to 5, 6 years experience in whatever job they're offering. And so all I have been my entire career is an IT person. So if I were going to go into some other field, I have no experience.
Stephanie Corman, you said that, if I remember correctly, one of the concerns with you attempting to find a new job is not wanting to be pigeonholed into the IT career. Is that correct?
That is, it's true that I do get pigeon-toed. I would love to have an IT job. I just don't actually qualify for one yet. I have programming experience, but on the user's side and for statistical analysis, not for software development or recreation. So I think at this point, I'm probably going to go to school and get an IT degree, since that's what people keep calling me for.
Mark, when you are looking to hire people, and whether you're looking to hire now or not, I guess, is somewhat irrelevant. Well, maybe not to those who are listening. Is Wintergreen Resorts looking to hire people?
We have openings. Not a lot, but we do have openings.
So when you are looking for someone, how much does experience play into the job?
It depends on the job. If it's an IT job, experience is very important. If it's a human resources job, I think Stephanie was talking about, I'll just go into human resources, because a lot of times companies just want to train somebody who's got the attitude and the aptitude to learn. So it's a combination. Sometimes we need somebody experienced, and we just filled a head chef position in one of our restaurants, and we wanted somebody experienced. We filled a director of tennis position. We wanted somebody experienced. There are other positions where you don't need experience. And so I hear what Howard's saying, and what's ironic is Howard's talking about how tough it is to get a job in the IT field, and Stephanie's talking about going into the IT field. So, you know, there are these elements of confusion on whether it's Howard's situation. And Howard, you had talked earlier about you just feel that it's possibly an age bias mentality in the employer sector, do you think?
I think it's a significant part of my difficulties.
Straight into your microphone.
I think it's a significant part of my difficulties.
And that it's true that both Howard and Stephanie, in our original exchange of emails and setting up for the program today, 11:18 on the wake-up call, as we talk about employment, Mark Maynard, Chief People Officer, Human Resources, Wintergreen, Stephanie Corman, Howard Parsons here, talking about looking for jobs after for the last year or more. But both of you mentioned age, and it wasn't deep down into the paragraph of writing. It was right near the top. Howard, you mentioned age being an issue. Why? You mentioned experience and age, but you only get experience through age.
That's true, but for some reason, a lot of employers, not everyone, a lot of employers don't want to pay for experience. A lot of employers don't want to pay. I think I lost one position because they told me I made too much money on my previous job.
But, well, I guess this is a personal question about that would change from individual to individual. Have you or will you reach the spot where you give the employer your expertise, your experience for the job? not necessarily the pay that you received the last time around, but for the job that offers you the stability to go to work every day and any benefits that come with it, et cetera, rather than not having that daily job.
I hate being unemployed. I have worked my entire life, always, you know, enjoyed working, and the past 2 years have been totally miserable. I have lowered my price, as it were. I just want to go to work.
11:20 on the wake-up call. Caller, please hang on for a second. Stephanie, I want to ask you the same question. You mentioned age as well, and I want to know how that plays into your job search, why you think it's an important factor.
I think Howard pretty much nailed it on the head. I feel like I'm competing against people who have come straight out of college, don't have a lot of experience, but are willing to work for less, whereas I have 10 years experience. And the companies feel like I'm going to be asking for more money. I'm in my early 40s, and I don't know. I get the impression that maybe they don't want to train the old dog, for lack of a better cliche.
All right, 11:21. Caller, I'm going to take this quick break, and then we'll come back and take our calls. We talk about employment on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today coming from the Down by the River Festival, the summer picnic of the year, July 11th at Kirk Avenue Music Hall in Roanoke. Down by the River is a full day of music, starring the Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi Band, Southern Culture on the Skids, always one of my favorites, and a new Riders of the Purple Sage. It's more than a concert with artisans, crafters, and a kid's world. For tickets and the full lineup, it's downbytheriver.org, or catch us on the link at WNRN.org. All right, let's take a call. We got John from Albemarle. John, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Fire away. What you got?
I'm a professional civil engineer. I've worked in my profession for 35 years. I was laid off 18 months ago. I've been listening to the comments concerning age discrimination, and I am finding a lot of the same issues that I have to deal with as far as age discrimination. The engineering firms can hire two younger engineers for what it costs me, but it's not as efficient to hire the younger engineers. Also, I just wanted to comment. I had an interview on Friday, and during that interview, they asked me, why haven't you found a job yet? And I told them, because there are no jobs in my field. It seemed to surprise a number of the interviewers that I hadn't received a job yet. It almost seemed or appeared that those with the jobs really didn't understand what's going on out here. So that's all I have to say, and I'd like to commiserate with those who are undergoing the same age problems, and it's very common. I have a number of friends who've lost their jobs and are facing the same situation.
All right, John, I wish I could help you with a job offer, but I can thank you for calling in to help share the misery and show people who are listening to that it's not just the two people sitting in the chairs today. Good luck.
It's not. There's a lot of people unemployed right now.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, John Marlborough calling in to share that 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Obviously not a Charlottesville Albemarle topic for the day. Toll free 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Locally 979-0919. All right, back with our guests, Howard Parsons, Stephanie Corman, both out there looking for work, like John, and Mark Maynard, who is the human resources officer from Wintergreen Resort. John said he had an interview recently. Howard, when was the last time you had an interview?
I had a phone interview in May or late April, but an in-person interview, not since last year.
And number of applications that you've sent out?
I have lost count.
And Stephanie, how about for you?
The last interview I had was in November of 2009, and I probably average 5 to 8 job applications a week.
Mark, how many applications do you see regularly, sort of number, and then maybe per position?
Depending on the position, it could be as few as 5 and as many as 150 to 200.
Let's talk about something that requires specific skills, which obviously Howard and Stephanie both have. You mentioned the chef at one of the restaurants. How many applications did you receive for that?
I don't remember the exact count. It was a modest amount.
And what's that? 5 or 25?
No, closer to 20 plus. And we drew from around the region. And for the director of tennis, we received well over 100, and that was from around the world. And we recently, well, in the last 6 months, hired an IT help desk specialist, and we got, a couple hundred responses to that. It's a tough world out there, and I'm really, really sorry people are having so much trouble.
Let's take your expertise from the person who's on the hiring side. I'd like to know what suggestions you can offer that allows Howard or Stephanie or John or anyone else who's listening to have them stand out or to do something different. Because, Howard, are you doing the same sort of job search that you have done in the past? Have you been doing the same job search since you started after 36 years?
I've changed my strategy a couple of times, but with no real...
What do you mean by change your strategy?
Well, some of the strategy is just blind application. Send in an application, who knows, maybe they've got something that's coming up, maybe they'll get notice. Other strategies is a more systematic search. There's networking. There are a number of tactics you can use, but, you know, nothing has worked.
And, Stephanie, how about for you? Have you selected a different method over the time that you've been searching?
I haven't yet, but I will now that I've moved here. Previously, it's been almost completely Internet searches through Internet websites, or I search for specific cities, look at businesses there, and then apply on their websites. Now that I'm living in an area where I actually know people, I intend to use the networking as another way of trying to find a job.
And so, Mark, is that the best way? And I realize that you're that Wintergreen, and I hope that, you know, if you have a spot or two open, maybe that you will get some applications here. But I'm asking you to represent what you know about Wintergreen. But then certainly, with your position, you speak with many other folks from other businesses about what they're doing, what they're using for their methodology.
If I may start with what I think the employer's mindset is, just in general, with hiring experienced workers. And I've run across the same issues when I've applied to jobs. I remember one person who was representing another company came back to me and said that the person who was hiring for the position said, I don't want that resume. I don't want a stable job history. I want somebody who's moved around and has a lot of different perspectives that they could bring to the table. That's one issue that sometimes employers take. Employers have a combination of biases against experienced workers. And it, I think the combination consists of overpriced. What are we going to have to pay for this experience, and are we willing to? I think it's, wow, is this person really complacent or inexperienced? Complacency kind of comes out when somebody's been in the same job for a very long time. And I'm not saying the person is complacent, but that's a bias that I think employers have. I think employers also feel that, well, this job doesn't require half of that experience, so this person may not feel challenged. And it also may have to do with, wow, we just want somebody in here who is just starting in their career, will be more affordable. And they may inaccurately think that that younger person may stay longer. The stats don't bear that. That typically college graduates are going to, on average, stay about 2 years. So you've got this wonderful group of people who are talented, experienced, and unemployed. And just because they may be perceived as being overqualified, overpriced, inflexible, I think you're missing out. If you're in that situation, employers, I think you're missing out on some very, very strong candidates. Be very careful.
How does the person doing the job search discover which bias that business may have? Because it sounds like for all those things, that's not necessarily an industry bias, not a bias for everyone doing the hiring, but that sounds more like an individual business or possibly even an individual person's bias who's doing the hiring. Is there any way for Howard or Stephanie or John or anyone else who is in the midst of their job search, are there little telltale signs? What do you call it with the poker player? Little ticks? Tells.
Well, unfortunately, if you are a candidate who... Howard, do you normally hear back from the employers one way or the other?
I did from Wintergreen.
You did?
Yes.
Were you one of our 200?
Or 2,000, whatever. We have... I'll say this, I generally do not hear back from employers. We have become a very coarse society. When I started looking for jobs outside, you know, got out of college, you'd send in your application, and if they didn't need you, a secretary would type out a letter. Yes, it's a form letter, probably on a memory typewriter, but still very much a manual process. And they would, you know, send you a letter saying, thank you, but we have no positions or we just can't use you. And nowadays I have gotten a relative handful of rejection letters. For all the applications I've sent out, there are a number of companies, I'm not going to name names, who I interviewed and said, well, we're, you know, you're one of the final candidates, we'll let you know. One way or the other, never heard from them.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, first of all, candidates talk about you among their friends. So if you're not responding to each and every candidate, and it's very easy these days with most people having email, but a phone call or an email, I think, are just basic courtesies. And I do have some thoughts about how to try to maximize your possibilities of getting at least a phone call or an interview.
Fire away. I'm sure there are many. There's at least two people listening to
well,
this.
And my wife might be listening, and my son and Jordan. So anyway, now kind of applying for a job is like a golf swing. There are probably 100 moving pieces, but if you can master the obvious, and I think the strategy, Howard, just speaking to the strategy, because I've seen it done before, of just a shotgun approach to sending out your resume. I don't know that that works as well as you might think. And I do like the idea of a thoughtful cover letter with no grammatical mistakes, because you have time to craft something thoughtful.
A little detail.
It's a little detail. It's too easy for employers to blow off a candidate, because we have our pick now, which is tough for candidates. So please make it hard for us to put you in the background by doing a thoughtful cover letter. If you have letters of references or letters of reference from your previous employer or employers, I would include them in your submission material. It's just a data point. It doesn't mean that it'll get you a job, but it means that you thought about it and that someone was amenable to writing the letter, which to me is a positive data point. I would be very careful not to be desperate, because when people come across as desperate, they usually say and do things or have an attitude that is a little off-putting to the people in charge of hiring.
What qualifies as sounding desperate in a cover letter?
If you don't hire me, you are missing out on the best opportunity of your lives. And then follow-up calls, what? You're not going to interview me? You know, just sounding very, very angry or frustrated. And it's easy to be angry and frustrated. But I will say this, that the majority of times the employers don't hire the people they thought were the best candidates. It starts to filter down for a number of reasons. You interview the people who look the best on paper, and then you find out they're not the right fit. Or you make an offer and it just doesn't work out, doesn't play out in negotiations. So it would be an interesting exercise if an employer would do an experiment and say, I'm going to turn down every candidate, and the ones that have a gracious response, I'm going to pull back in. Because a lot of times that seals it for a candidate. Maybe you were on the fence and you call them and say, you know, I don't think we're going to be bringing you in for an interview, but I really appreciate it. And if the response is anything less than very gracious, you might hurt your chances of being called back if the position doesn't work out for one of the
other. Is that really a method that is used?
No, I'm just throwing it out there. No.
Well, I didn't mean by wintergreen, but I mean, have you heard that, or is that just
That was totally me throwing out a concept. But the point I was trying to make is there are times when we have said, you know what, let's hang on to this person, but let's tell them we're hanging on to them, but we're not going to interview them right now, or we'll get back to them. And depending on how they act, they may actually move themselves from one pile to the next. You know, there's usually a yes, maybe, and no pile. So if you can move yourself up to the yes pile with a gracious response, or to the no pile with, you know, an act of desperation or lack of courtesy. But it's a very tough world out there, and I understand that.
11:38 here in the wake-up call. It was Mark Maynard. He's the Chief People Officer, Human Resources from Wintergreen Resort. We also have Stephanie Corman and Howard Parsons in the room today talking about employment or finding employment for several folks. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly sunny today, but some afternoon thundershowers and storms predicted. Highs 90 to 95, mid-80s over in the valley with a heat index of 102. In Richmond. Mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the upper 60s. Partly sunny, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs 90 to 95. A little cooler in the valley. A little warmer in Richmond. Right now, 84 in Shenandoah, 83 in Lynchburg, 87 in Richmond, and 87 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And this week, following decades of keeping visitors on the main level, Monticello's new director unveils the never-publicly-seen third floor, Jefferson's Home. The Hook takes you there. 3 years after the $750,000 makeover of Charlottesville's McGuffey Park, the city is getting ready to spend another $80,000 to replace some of the most unique features. What went wrong? And after more than 50 years in the business, Carrie's Photoshop recently shut its doors, the victim of the switch to digital photography. So where will we find the expertise? Read The Hook, because it's delicious. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and brgtshirts.com. And we give a shout-out to Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Summer's almost here, at least feels like it, and Blue Ridge has cool clothes for hot climates, as well as sandals and camping equipment for outdoor adventures. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is also your headquarters for kayaks and canoes and stand-up paddle boats. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Berwickshoed Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, West Broad, and Chesterfield Town Center in Richmond. Online, brms.com. All right, let's get back in action with our guests. Stephanie Corman, Howard Parsons, Mark Maynard, talking about employment. Stephanie, you mentioned having a job that you accepted a new job, and then that school financially forced you, where you lost your job because of financial issues.
Yes, that's true.
Then you moved to Iowa.
Illinois, actually, but
Illinois.
Yes.
So you moved to one of the I states in the Midwest.
Correct.
So did you know people there? Because you specifically mentioned knowing people in this area.
Actually, I got married.
Okay.
So that was the reason for the move. And I moved to a very rural area. I don't know if you've heard of Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Iowa. Maybe that's why I got it all messed up.
Maybe. But I think living in the rural area was part of the problem with why I wasn't able to get a job and why it took a year for me to find another position, because there was nothing in the area that fit what I do. So I was applying pretty much everywhere that I was going to have to relocate in order to take the job, which I think is a problem. Nobody's paying for relocation. So
Can you share with me, and, you know, if it's too personal, just say so. What's it like to be in an area that you don't know, that's new to you, and I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, but be frustrated by a job search of a year? How does that affect other parts of your life? I mean, it's one thing to have work be unhappy or difficult, et cetera, but it just seems like that this would flow over into so many other parts.
That's very true. And actually, you know, it was quite depressing, to be honest. I originally did not think I was going to have a problem finding a job. I thought that I had a very good skill set and I would get hired quickly. And as it turned out, that was absolutely not the case. At about the 6.7 month point, I became to feel sort of subhuman, like no longer part of society. I didn't leave the house very much. I didn't want to spend money on gas. I became quite inactive other than being on the computer and applying for jobs. It was very disheartening.
And Howard, I mean, you've been in this area for all or most of these 36 years?
28.
So is there any difference with that when you are looking for a job in an area that you are otherwise comfortable with?
I'm not really sure. You know, you certainly know the territory more if you've been here for 28 years. But in some respect, being here 28 years marks you as an old-timer.
But aren't you one of the good old boys who knows everybody in town, who, you know, I went to high school with that person, et cetera. Why can't you get me? Come on, you got to have something.
Oh, well, we all have our networks, but usually the networks don't include hiring managers.
And why is that?
I wish I knew.
Mark, why is that?
I
how
wish
long have
I
you
knew.
Been in the area?
Since 86, so about 24 years.
Okay, and does that include college, high school?
No. College and high school, they were in a different decade.
Okay, sorry, I didn't want to guess, but I would say, all right. it could easily qualify to me. Don't speak about wintergreen in this if you're uncomfortable doing so.
Okay.
But what role does the good old boy network play in finding a job?
Well, probably the best way would be if you have a buddy who is gainfully employed in an organization that could use you. And if they go up to the HR department or the hiring manager and say, hey, I know this great guy, Howard Parsons, he's got everything you want. And by the way, I'm going to throw out something that it may not be very attractive to some job seekers who have 30 years of experience or 35 like John did on the phone. I think because employers are in a tough spot, they don't have a lot of extra money to play with in labor, which is generally one of the more expensive aspects of running an organization, that it'd be nice if we could bust those preconceived notions that people with a lot of experience are going to feel an entitlement to a high salary. I think that's an automatic killer with a lot of organizations. And I would ask, I don't know how the conversation starts. I don't know whether it's led by the candidate, but I would say, knowing that that exists, that this person is going to be way overpriced for what we want. We only need 5 years, so 26 years may not give us anything more than what we need, but we'll be paying more. I would see if you could bust that myth through networking with your friends, through your cover letter. I'm willing to come in and start at whatever level you're hiring and prove myself. I also want to point out, Stephanie said something about just going into a different field, getting a new skill. A lot of times I've seen people come into an organization in a suboptimal role, making way less money.
But define that to stupid people like me. Suboptimal.
So Howard, he'd love to be in IT because that's what he does. But he sees this other position with a company that seems like a nice company. And maybe that position is a bartender. Whatever it is. And he goes, wow. He's thumbs up on that.
Thumbs up on that.
And so he goes in as a bartender and works for way less money than he's used to. But then he gets to know people. And he's also seen as a possible succession plan for the IT department in that particular organization. So he meets people, starts to create relationships, and maybe one day he gets the nod. That has happened several times at Wintergreen.
So that's finding the company that you like. You do your research, and because I would assume that both Howard and Stephanie have done this, it's you don't just take the position. You also want to know that the company is the right company for you. So, Mark, what you're saying is to find, if you find the company that's at the top of your list, maybe just take the job there and then try and flow into the position that fits you best?
Yes.
Okay. We are talking about employment here on Wake Up Call, 11:48 on Sunday, June 13th. Mark Maynard, Human Resources at Wintergreen, Stephanie Corman, Howard Parsons, both longtime employed individuals currently out there seeking in today's tough world. And don't go anywhere at noon, because Drew Thompson is behind me picking out some music for Les Temps Perdue. You hear the best from the college and alternative and underground scenes from the 80s and 90s. And remember, at least one song heard during the second hour of Les Temps is featured on the Plan 9 pop quiz later in the week. All right. I want to talk with everyone about multitasking. Because, Mark, you mentioned that during the trimming of the staff at Wintergreen, one of the key factors was having people who did this job during this season come over and fill another job during the other season. And first thing that pops to mind is guys who work in the golf area in the summer come work in the ski area in the winter.
Wow, you nailed it.
Okay. So I'd like to know what Howard and Stephanie, how, if you've considered that, and then Mark may be offering suggestions for how that might apply in today's world. So, Stephanie, let's start with you, because you mentioned getting pigeonholed in the IT. Is there something that you can mention during your interview that you're capable of doing that isn't IT, but certainly requires some skills and experience without having to go back to school for it?
There, I do have actually IT experience on a personal level, and on occasion I have mentioned that in my resume or in my cover letter. I think it probably didn't go over very well. And I think the thing that the conclusion that I've come to is that the best way for me to progress at this point is to go ahead and start working on some part of IT, get some education in, say, network security or database management, so that I can do the multitasking, and maybe I'll have a better chance at getting a job, because I will fit multiple roles.
Howard?
Well, I like the idea about that bartending job if you're accepting applications.
Yeah, and you set up the laptop on the bar for slower times, and Howard can bartend. You talk about busy season, but there's busy shifts, busy time during the shift, and Howard can do a little IT work after setting up for the evening, afternoon work. But, Howard, and I'm not an IT guy, but have you approached, or you mentioned coming up with different methods for sending out applications. Have you come up with identifying different skills that you have that don't necessarily fall into the IT world?
I have tried to do that, but a lot of the skills that I have, canoe guide, that kind of thing, they just really don't pay very much. And again, they're looking for younger people.
You know, that keeps the age keeps coming back. Why are you so and let's take the financial part out of it, because I think many people would assume that you start at this level of pay and you earn your way up to a higher level of pay. And that happens as you get older. But let's take the financial part out of it. Is there another issue with age that you think? I mean, because you're not asking new hires to jog around the block in their sandwich board as part of their merchandising.
I have really tried to identify, what is the problem with age. And it was mentioned earlier, some companies, they want someone who has been around, worked at a wide variety of companies and institutions, not just one for 26 years. And I come from a generation where you were loyal to your company. You were loyal to them and they were loyal to you. And all of that has changed. And unfortunately, you can't turn back the clock.
Mark, your thoughts on the age issue?
Well,
it's federal law. You can't, there's no age discrimination.
It is true. It's a federal law. Do I think it's there? Absolutely. Is it explicit in some companies? Sure. Is it implicit in others? Absolutely. There are probably ways that applicants can come across as more youthful. And I'm trying to think of how. It could be in the way the cover letter is written. It could be in the way the interview flows, if you get an interview either by the phone or in person. I just think that employers need to do part of the work here. They need to stop the biases, especially the ones that may be unfounded. For us, if we feel like we have somebody like Howard who has so much experience, we're probably going to have a quick conversation. If everything else looks beautiful, we're probably going to have a quick conversation just to say, hey, what are you going for here? Can you tell us a little bit about your salary expectations? I don't like to lead with that conversation, but sometimes it just is an appropriate conversation.
And it saves a lot of time on both ends.
It does, but part of the whole exchange and interviewing is to sell the company and the person sell themselves before you talk about money. But when there's this big divide, if we have somebody who we know will work at this rate, but we have somebody else who, geez, has all this experience, and we have this fear that their price is going to be so high, we might say something like, can you tell me a range that you're looking for. And if they say something that's significantly higher, what we'll say is, that's about $10,000 or $15,000 higher than I think we're willing to pay. Do you want to continue the conversation or not? And sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no. And sometimes when they say yes, we hire the person at $10,000 or $15,000 less. And sometimes they say yes, we hire the person exactly what they wanted. It just depends on whether they can convince us that we should be spending the money. But based on the economy, it's a tough gig to try to sell a high-level salary based on experience.
11:55 here in the wake-up call. We're talking about employment. Howard Parsons, Stephanie Corman, Mark Maynard with us. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst-Lynchburg. And let me give a quick thanks to Petite Bébé, a children's and maternity boutique offering everything for babies and children up to 14. They have a lot of things out there for kids and strollers, car seats. They also offer a baby shower registry. You can find Petite Bébé on the downtown mall, First and Water Street in Charlottesville, and you can find them online at petitebebe.com. Mark, quick question to you, and then we'll spread that out to Stephanie and Howard. If you talk about money right away, or even when you talk about money, how does the potential employee not sell themselves short $10,000 or $15,000?
That's also a concern, and it depends on the honesty of the person asking the questions and the honesty of the response. If you can't work for less than a certain amount, I would be honest. And if the company can't pay more than a certain amount, I would be honest. But every once in a while, in the whole exchange, you find, wow, this person brings something to the table that we really need, and we're willing to pay a little more than we originally thought. Here's the deal. With companies these days, I believe it's true anyway. I can only speak from my personal experience, but I believe it's true that companies look for value in whatever they're paying. And if I were a candidate, try to find your what's called your superhero quality, which is something that you do that is easy for you to do and really hard for other people to do and adds value to the enterprise. And we all should be digging for that. I mean, all the superheroes had their thing. I think, you know, we all know what Superman did. And Wonder Woman, was she like a truth? She had this truth lasso or something, you know. Kind of looking at it that way, what distinguishes you from every other candidate that brings value to the organization, and how do you communicate that in all of your conversations without being arrogant or without being too nonchalant? It's a golf swing. It's 100 moving pieces.
Does humor work?
I think appropriate humor is great, because I've seen every company I've worked in, the more we laugh, the more fun it is to come to work. And so humor, but it's got to be appropriate.
So you don't want to hear my bathroom jokes? Stephanie,
yeah, I do.
We'll wait. Okay. Stephanie, there's only a minute or so left. What's your plan from here?
I don't know. I took a lot of notes on what Mark has said. I think I'm going to go home and make some changes, and my resume will now include the bartending job that I had and the fact that I am a guild leader in World of Warcraft and organize 25 and 40-man raid runs. Maybe that'll make a difference.
Who doesn't play on computer while at work?
You can't play World of Warcraft at work, no. Unless you're the boss. But, yeah, I think I've gotten some really good suggestions, and I'll go back and rework what I've been sending out.
Howard?
Well, you know, there was an idea, talking about the bartending job for a second. One of the things I do or used to do was tastings of single malt scotch. I come with my own kilt. So I'm available up at Wintergreen if anyone's interested.
You cannot deny that a kilt is cool.
That in itself, you should hire just for that, even if it's for the single day event.
Absolutely.
That sounds like something. All right. I'm really sorry that we have to finish this hour, because I feel like we could easily go on another hour, and we'll have to bring this back maybe later in the summer or before the end of the year. This is Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Thanks so much to our guests today, Howard Parsons, Stephanie Corman, who are both looking for work. Feel free to send me an email, abstract me, at AOL.com, and I'll send along appropriate emails. Mark Maynard, Chief People Officer, Human Resources at Wintergreen Resort. Don't forget that you can catch the entire show, SeavillePodcast.com, and exchanges can be made there in the comment area. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.